see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without. A man without a face. 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 A man without a face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. That's me. You know, I'm me and you're you, and that's a wonderful thing. You know it's true. I don't know why. I just had to break into song there. You know what I mean? For a minute. Now, it's wonderful to see you this week. I've been doing lots of thinking, and I've got some more good news. The Compere, I've been, those of you who've been praying for me with that, thank you so much. Please continue. I'm trying to get it into the digital domain. It appears I've got 9 in and 5 to go. And, it's interesting. There's a lot of opposition to getting this Compere thing done. For instance, I got up and it was a little late. This was after, you know, the Sabbath day on Thursday. And so it was nighttime. And I put the tape in. And lo and behold, right near the end of it, lightning was striking, and it was raining all of a sudden, and boom, we had a brownout right in the middle of recording the thing. So I had to go do it all again. So, I mean, this stuff is incredible what goes on. Speaking of this lightning thing, I've been talking about it for a while, how without lightning, we would not have electricity. But think about this. This is something I've been thinking about. See, it says we will not even need the light of the sun in the Father's kingdom, for he will light the kingdom. So therefore, I'm making an assumption here that we will not need electricity. Electricity is a blessing, but it's a bigger blessing for the devil because it allows him to control us. It allows him to become omniscient and omnipresent, so to speak, which are the attributes of the fathers, really only, and of course, Satan Claus. You know, Santa, which is I think that's called an anagram, where they scramble up the letters. Well, Santa's just Satan scrambled up. It's very interesting to me that there was this song I heard, and it was about automation. taking over men's jobs. And I'm trying to think of what they said. They said, automation, where would you be without electricity? They were complaining in the song how automation is taking men's jobs away. In other words, their ability to make a living. And without electricity, automation could not function. So I'm thinking about how all this works, this electricity thing. I called it harnessed lightning. Just to remind you again, when Frankenstein, the Dr. Frankenstein, tried to become God by creating a man out of different body parts, he brought this man to life through lightning. He had nodes on the sides of his head. And the lightning is what gave life to the man, so that this not only gave life to a man and was a creation, even though it was an abomination of a creation, but it also signified that man had now become God, which is the promise of Lucifer in the garden, or the angel in the garden. Isn't it interesting that electricity has a big part in all of this? Electricity. Elect. I know your gears in your mind are turning. Yes, there's a lot more to this electricity thing than you could even begin to imagine. And I think as I think on it, in the future we'll learn a lot more about its real purpose. I just have to think about all the things electricity enables. It causes a lot of problem with our healths, this electricity. It enables many things that harm us. Oh, I know that your fan cools you down and your air conditioner cools you down and so on and so forth. But electricity as a whole needs to be examined. I would call it an enabler of the devil. It enables the devil to have Big Brother around the world. I called my internet company. My internet runs out halfway through the month, and then I'm on this low part of the internet where, you know, pages barely load and everything. And people wonder, well, what's going on with Dave? Well, you know, I'm having a rough time, bro, folks, rough time. And I called them and I said, well, you know, when do you think you're going to be straightening this out someday, you know? I mean, after all, I said to the girl, I said, they do want to know every thought I think and every keystroke I make. I mean, just think if they don't get to hear and hear all these things, think of what they could be missing. Yeah, they don't need any keystrokes from me. Just listen to my shows. They don't need to listen to telephone calls. Just listen to my shows. You'll hear it all. But that's just an aggravation in itself. You see, when you're in the city, they'll give you all the internet you want. But when you're in the rural areas of the country, they make a big scam out of it. Because this is all Jewish run. See, they want you to pay for everything, but they also want to be able to access everything that you think and do and type and everything else. And it's a delicate balance because the Jews can't help themselves when it comes to greed. So they're pretending like, oh, well, we only can give you 100-something gigs of internet broadband, you know, and then after that, you know, it's unlimited, but you're going on the low part of the internet. which means you can barely function at all. I just want you to know the things I go through. It took me over 15 times to try to upload the midweek news this week. Because I upload this file to a server, and it'll make it a certain thing, and then it'll say, oh, the upload failed. Now, you know we have upload managers and everything now that can take care of all that, where you just hit resume. But we don't have that with this site that I upload the shows to so I can bring you the show. So 15 times, this is a new record. Over 15. You don't have any idea the things that I go through to bring this material to you. You don't really know. Because if you did, you'd say, wow, I respect this guy's time. Yeah, time is something that's incredible. But I want to thank a couple of people. There's been a few recent donations. Thank you to Wesley. Thank you to Brian. And who else was there? Farron, thank you very much. It means a lot to know that you care about my work and you care about the kingdom and you're willing to give of yourselves to help me in my work. I go through a lot of things and I don't want to complain about things. I'm just telling you, I want you to understand that it's not all what you think. You might get this idea, oh, he just records an hour show and that's it. I mean, what's an hour show? Yeah, you try it. Anyway, I do love what I do. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you that things are not all what they seem. If you think that this is like, some little easy thing that's just, oh, this is so simple. Why should I give him anything? He's only doing an hour show here and an hour half there and 2 hours here. And, and then he's working on Compere and then he's doing this and then he's done. Well, it's a lot more than you think. A lot more than that. So perhaps you would, if you've never given before, perhaps you would give something. Perhaps you would give of yourself to be a partaker in what's going on for the kingdom here, what my work is. And believe me, every time you give, it's an opportunity for blessing for yourself. Giving is a wonderful thing, and if you're giving in a spirit of a bad spirit of giving, if you're not giving cheerfully, I wouldn't give if I were you. I had one fellow get in touch with me, and he bought me some dog food and some other things, which really helped a lot. But he said, I'd like to make up for the 3 years that I haven't given anything to you. And so I told him what I needed. I'm doing a project downstairs, to finish off. This is just OSB board and some insulation. And I told him that it would cost around $400, right? And so when we had had a conversation, I had told him that I sold my house in Boston, which was not paid off. And I told him I bought this house here. And he ends up writing me in an email saying, I don't even have a house. He says, I don't have anything, but he works a job full time. I'm sure he makes good money. But his reasoning that he couldn't give to me was because he didn't have a house, but I did. So, I was thinking of saying to the guy, well, would you rather I be living in the street and then could you give something to me? See, what people don't understand is the Father gave me a place. It's not mine. It's the Father's house. It's the Father's land. And I am by no means a rich man. I don't have any money coming in. No, the business is not working out that good. But all I'm telling you is that, you know, I just couldn't believe that the fellow said, oh, I can't give to you. I don't even own a house. You know, in other words, I may have my domicile to live in that the Father gave me. He's not overjoyed about that. I guess he'd rather that I be out in the street. Then he could give to me out in the street. But you see, you know, I need things like food and everything like that, like people do, and dog food for Alky and so on and so forth. And I'm responsible of taking care of this property that's the Father's property. I don't have any Cadillacs. I don't have any airplanes. Anyway, I didn't really want to get on this big spiel, but I still can't believe that if somebody would even come up with that kind of reasoning in their mind, oh, I can't give you anything because I don't own a house, but you do. And believe me, my house is worth a third of what the one in Boston cost. And the one in Boston was a little Cape house, had very little land, you know, that type of thing. I don't understand some people's thinking, but that really threw me for a loop. First, he says, I want to help you because I haven't done anything in the last 3 years and I want to make that up to you. It's weird. It's a weird world we're living in. That's all I'm telling you. Anyway, sorry about all that. We'll go a little extra time on the Rabbit Hole Radio Show to make up for this little speak, but it's strange. I mean, I can't believe, you know, giving. Imagine the lady with the last mite when she gave her last mite that Jesus talked about. She could have said, well, the priesthood has more money than I do, so I'm going to keep it. Strange, isn't it? Christian people. We've got a lot of strange people. I love our brothers and sisters, but who can figure out where they're really coming from in a sense? You know, I'm perplexed. See, if people have things that I don't have, I'm not jealous about that. I say to myself, well, thank the Father that they're able to have what they have. I don't covet their what they have. I don't look into it and say, well, you know, how come I don't have what they have or any of that kind of stuff. I never think like that. It's just not in my thinking thought realm. What do you think the Father's going to say to that fellow? Anyway, so this lightning thing is very interesting, isn't it? It's funny how the lightning goes to the lightning, too. You know, it'll go to the electrical line and join itself to it because it's part of it. It is what it is, you know. It's hard to explain, but, you know, I'm not an electrician. No, I'm not an electrical engineer or anything like that. I can't explain to you all the things, but I do think it's very interesting, this electricity and this harnessed lightning is what I call it. Because that's what it was when Dr. Frankenstein did that thing in the movie, you see. He harnessed the power of lightning, turned it to electricity. This is what Ben Franklin did with the key and the kite or whatever he was doing there. And he discovered electricity with a key. I think there's more symbolism there too than maybe what really took place. I have no idea. But that is quite interesting. You know, the Jews are really pushing and pushing and pushing. They don't know when to stop. They don't know when to shut their mouths. They keep on. I mean, it is so evident that they are the source of all the troubles of the world. Whining about this and whining about that. And they want the president to kill Soleimani or whatever his name is. They want this. They want I mean, it's just beyond measure. And how the world cannot see these people for what they are, vampires, is beyond me. It shows you that the people back in Ben Franklin's time, whether he was a Freemason and there were dead children's bones found out of his house out there, and he was a member of a lot of filthy lodges in Europe. So I don't really trust him. And I'll be honest with you too. The name Benjamin Franklin, you know the name Frank is a Jew name. So I can't say to you that I'm positive he's a Jew, but I would think he is. Benjamin. Those are our names that have been stolen from us for centuries and centuries. Benjamin Franklin. Frank. Billy Frank. Yeah. Now, I can't prove it. But even if he wasn't a Jew, he was heavily into the Jew organizations of Freemasonry, and I mean several, the Lodge of Nine Sisters, etc., etc., etc. So, these are things to think about. And, you know, Alexander Hamilton was half Negro, half Jew. And you see that he was fighting against the rest of the people for getting the bank in here. He was totally pro-banks. But I will tell you one thing right now. A deist is an antichrist. And I don't think the world is realizing just how antichrist the world is and has been. Like I said, these founding fathers brought a constitution. A constitution that they knew darn right well that the Jews would end up changing into a democracy. And, of course, I'll bring it up again. What kind of government have you given us, Mr. Franklin? A republic, if you can keep it. You see, he knew. Now, I know that Ben Franklin said things about the Jews, so maybe he's not a Jew, but he's a Freemason regardless. You don't think Franklin, a man that had the brains of Franklin, would know about the Jews? And know that they controlled Freemasonry? Just very interesting things, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very interesting things. And it's a setup, in a sense. From what I understand, I read Manly P. Hall's books to you in the beginning of Saxon's Creed, the first Democrat and all these things. And to these secret societies, America was a grand experiment. It was a place where they could go and set up what I would call the devil's kingdom. Even though the father had claim of the land first, you see that all of everything that was set up here, including the Pentagon, which is the upside-down star, which is Lucifer himself, and that this is the land of the plumed serpent, also known as Quetzalcoatl. This is also called the land of Lucifer. America. There's a lot more than meets the eye about the whole thing. Like I said, the ley lines. These Masonic temples are little temples of Solomon. They're built on the same structure as a temple of Solomon. That's why they have two pillars like Jachin and Boaz, or Jachin and Boaz, if you'd like to say it that way. So, there's much more going on, and even in the beginning of this country. Remember again, as I will point out to you, that this was an American revolution and that Freemasonry was involved in yet another revolution. Not only Scottish Rite Freemasonry, not only the York Rite Freemasonry, but the Grand Orient and all the different ones, the B'nai B'rith, all of it. Freemasonry was supposedly started on the in UK in 1717. So it didn't take long, did it? I was listening also, I wanted to mention this to you. I found out a lot about Roger Waters. He said his mother was an extreme leftist. This was in, it was called Hard Talk with Roger Waters, and it was done by somebody that was supposedly a Frenchman. And the reason why this particular interview was given was he said that, I'm going on memory, I just saw it about a week or so ago. He said that he was writing a big thing with an orchestra about the French Revolution. He said his mother was a hard leftist. And I know that this fellow's a communist for several reasons. He said the French Revolution was a good thing. It was a good thing that the French Revolution happened. It was good that a monarchy was taken down, wasn't it? No, it wasn't good. And he mentioned several names like the same old people. You know what I mean? What's the guy? I don't know if I can think of their names right now, but you know, the one who wrote Animal Farm, George Orwell, brought him up. And the other fellow there from England, who Aldous Huxley, he brought all these names up, and he was saying they were good and their ideas were good and everything. And this kind of blew my mind because he gave it all away. He had it was no problem. When he said that the French Revolution was a good thing, I understood right away. Then he began to talk about how mankind could do better with wealth distribution. That's communism. And you wonder why he's on the world stage? And so he's playing another game, just like he's playing a game with the Jews. They're playing like they don't like him. And he's playing like he doesn't like them because of what they're doing to the Palestinians, like he cares about people. This man who wrote all this darkness, Welcome to the Machine, and everything. You know, I do think the fellow's brilliant, but I think that there's more than meets the eye. This fellow has quite a long nose. It's not curved, but I don't really know. I couldn't say what he is. But I can say, in one sense, I can't say what he is racially. He appears to be white. But so do a lot of people. But he is definitely on the Jews' side. And it's just the same crapola. It's the Hegelian dialectic. Oh, we don't like what you're doing to the Palestinians. Jeremy Corbyn. Oh, the Jews don't like Jeremy Corbyn. The Jews don't like this woman that I mentioned a while ago. And then they don't like Roger Waters because he's defending the Palestinians. It's a game. The Zionist Jews say they don't like what the Jews are doing to the Palestinians too. You see what I'm saying? And this gives the Muslims the idea that the Jews are on their side. It's just some of those evil Jews that are doing this wrong. There's all of us good Jews, too, over here in the camp that's against those evil Jews. It's good Jew, bad Jew nonsense. And boy, did they play this to the hilt. And why did I tell you? See if you can remember why I told you they play good Jew, bad Jew. What's the idea behind it? The idea is, if all the Jews presented themselves as they really are, as evil, filthy, dirty swine, which they all are, then, I mean, there'd be no question. Everybody would want to jump all over them, right? But if they have people presenting themselves as truth tellers and good Jews, like Benjamin Friedman talked about, and, you know, all this nonsense, there's people that are against what these horrible Jews are doing. And I heard about a fellow, maybe you could look this up. I'll get to it eventually. But I heard about a Jew named Kasner who supposedly killed a huge amount of Jews during World War II over in Eastern Europe. Kasner. I'll get to it. But guess what kind of Jews they were supposedly killing? Orthodox Jews. And when they were killing the Jews in Europe, they were killing Orthodox Jews. You see the game that's going on? You must realize that if the Jews kill off a bunch of the Orthodox Jews, that gives the rest of the Jews that are rabbis greater control. It's a game, folks. They don't care about each other either. They don't care about collateral damage of Jews. They'll go out there and tell you, oh, one Jew got killed in France, and make a big deal out of it, right? But have you heard about Kasner killing millions of Orthodox Jews? You understand the game, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, this is just right in your face, all of it. So, let's continue with Maurice Penet's book, The Plot Against the Church. Now, let me say one thing more before I go on. If in the time of Jesus, Yeshua, if they were able to kill off the Aaronic priesthood, if they were allowed and got to put Herod into the position he was in this province so that he could control these Jews, because Rome had a lot of problems with Jews. So by putting him in this position, he was able to kill off the descendants of Aaron, which qualified for the priesthood. Then he was able to put in Edomite Jews into the priesthood. Let me stop right there. If he was able to do that, do you not think that subsequently, that after the death of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus, that they could not manipulate the scriptures and send the Apostle Paul out to contradict and take over Christianity, contradict the gospel of Christ, and eventually take over Christianity and Judaize Christianity? That's something I'm going to be doing a show, I believe, after this show. It'll be the first Word of the Most High for some time, and I'll discuss that type of a thing. You see, if they were able to do all those other things, could they not have got control over the scriptures? And I believe the answer is yes. But just as with anything, you have to tell some truth. You know, I saw a scripture today about the Apostle Paul saying about us being weak so that Christ can be strong. Ladies and gentlemen, think about that. Think about that. I'm laughing because it's sinister. It's ridiculous. Would you want your soldiers to be weak so that you could be strong? I mean, that's what I'm laughing at. That's how ridiculous this is. This is ridiculous Jewry nonsense, and only a Jew could think up such filth. And he says in another part that if he be a liar, so that makes Christ look like, you know, he told the truth. I mean, this is just nonsense, absolute nonsense. And I'm telling you, I just know what the conclusion is going to come out to be. Because when I get on a scent of a trail like this, I wouldn't have got on this trail for no reason at all. Because I know it's been confirmed already. I know what's going on here. In other words, by you being weak, so go out and be as weak as you can so that Christ can look strong. I mean, we wouldn't have known Christ was strong already because he was out in the desert for 40 days or whatever. It's ridiculous, right? He needs your weakness to look strong. You see how stupid that idea is? All right. Let's get into the book then. I'm very passionate about defending the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the kingdom. And I do not like people that do not defend the Christian belief, the Christian gospel, the gospel of Christ. He came here and he suffered greatly for our sake or our sakes. And we're not just going to let that be thrown down the toilet by some filthy, dirty Jew Pharisee whom they have exalted into a position that he should have never had in the first place. So we're on page, if you'd like to open up, it's page 204. And it says, on the other hand, it is evident that only the Jews already dispersed all over the world could work out so easily this highly colored mixture of Jewish, Christian, Platonic, Neoplatonic, Egyptian, Persian, and even Hindustani ideas of which Gnosticism is composed, which similarly to the Hebrew Kabbalah, and it's not Hebrew, I have to keep correcting these people, the Jews are not Hebrews, so again, I'm going to read that again, which similarly to the Jewish Kabbalah was founded as an esoteric teaching for alleged chosen people and was spread in the form of secret societies according to Jewish style. These increased in number and deviated each time more among each other in their doctrines. You've heard the Apostle Paul talk about the doctrines of devils, right? He ought to know, shouldn't he? The attempts made like those of the Kabbalah to find a concealed meaning in the Holy Scriptures were so made that each gave different interpretations of the Gospels, just as later happened with the free inquiry of Protestantism. See, they're saying they're equating Protestantism with anything that isn't Catholic. You see, in other words, Protestantism is just like the Jews and everything else, right? Which split it into an affinity of churches, which were at times even rivals. The principle of the existence of concealed meanings deviating from the literal text of the Bible made it possible for the Gnostics to turn away completely from the real Christian doctrine. With their multiplicity of sects, they represented a veritable cancer, which threatened to disintegrate the whole of Christianity in its innermost. See, disintegration is corruption, ladies and gentlemen. And these Jews had split. By the way, Neil Peart of Rush died, and I only mentioned that to you. He's 67 years old. I believe he's a Freemason, where Geddy Lee was a Jew. And I'm not sure about Alex Lifeson. It's very possible he was a Jew too. I know you say, well, he had blonde hair and blue eyes. Well, that doesn't mean anything. But what I will tell you was that Neil Peart was into Freemasonry. And I saw this type of thing many times. I don't know if they've admitted to this or not. But they wrote an album called Subdivisions. And what that means is what happened to what the Jews do is first they divide somebody against themselves, like the American people you divide them with democracy, and then you subdivide them. Now they have a football team that's from their state, so we're in competition with your state, so now we're subdivided again, right? Then you get subdivided into, you know, the far left and the regular left. And then, you know, the subdivisions continue. This is what happened. This is how it's possible that 33,000 denominations have been subdivided into that many. 33,000. Isn't it interesting that that would be the number? And 3 times 3 is 9 again. So, the Gnosis proceeded from the basis of the existence of a good God and of matter regarded as the origin of evil. This God, as the highest being, created through emanation of intermediary beings called aeons. So he was created, who are connected with the one another and who, united with the highest being, represented the kingdom of light. Let's get this again. The Gnosis proceeded from the basis of the existence of a good God and of matter regarded as the origin of evil. This God, as the highest being, created through emanation of intermediary beings called aeons, who are connected with one another and who, united with the highest being, represent the kingdom of light. According to the degree in which they removed themselves from God, they were less perfect. Although even the lowest aeon, or eon, it's A-E-O-N, possessed particles of the divinity and were therefore incapable of creating matter, bad by nature. They explained the creation of the world through one of these aeons, whom they called Demiurge. I hope you're listening. The latter, Demiurge, claimed to be like God and rose against him. Who do you know that claimed that they would be like the Most High? And, so listen carefully. They explained the creation of the world through one of these aeons, whom they call the Demiurge. The latter claimed to be like God and rose against him, for which reason he was cast out of the kingdom of light and thrown into the abyss. There he created our universe, not God, Lucifer, the Demiurge. You see? Are you paying attention? There he created our universe, gave form to material and created man, whose soul as a particle of light remained enchained in matter, which is evil, of course. Then God, in order to redeem the souls of the ruined world, sent another aeon named Christ upon earth, who was truly devoted to the highest being and who had never had a real body, for matter is intrinsically evil. Are you listening? You see, this nonsense about it's another doctrine of devils. The idea that we have this fallen nature, that we have, what is it called? Sin? You know what I'm talking about. We're born with original sin. That's what this idea is right here. Original sin is not the Bible. It comes from one of the books. It was first introduced in one of the books of the Apocrypha. But you see that here, this is what they're trying to say. See, we who are in the material plane are intrinsically evil. That's why Black Lives Matter. I'm joking. You see, okay, you get it. No laugh track this, folks. Sorry, this isn't the midweek news. Then God, in order to redeem the souls of the ruined world, sent another eon named Christ upon earth, who was truly devoted to the highest being, and who had never had a real body, for matter is intrinsically evil. The various Gnostic sects gave diverse interpretations to this complete mechanism, sometimes going so far as to identify Jehovah with the evil demiurge. Well, that is exactly who the evil demiurge is. Jehovah is not the Father's name. Jehovah is a name, as we have discovered, was created by mixing Yahweh's name, the Tetragrammaton, and the word Adonai, which is Lord. That's how the name Jehovah came out. It has nothing to do with the Father. We found out that the Jehovah's Witnesses worshiping the devil, whose name is Jehovah. We found out that in Freemasonry, they worship the name Jehovah as well. So we know that that's not the Father's name. So very interestingly, they say here, listen, if you're paying attention, you'll get it right away. The various Gnostic sects gave diverse interpretations to this complete mechanism, sometimes going so far as to identify Jehovah with the evil demiurge, who is Lucifer. And that's who it is. For some, Jehovah was the supreme being. And for others, he was only an aeon faithful to the latter. Manichaean dualism took over from the Gnosticism, the form of a struggle between the world of the spirit and that of matter. The redemption of the souls incorporated in matter took place, according to this host of sects, through the gnosis, i.e., the knowledge of the truth. Without need of morality or good works, this had the disastrous consequence in many sects of calling forth the most repellent immorality and dissoluteness of morals and practices. I was thinking about this earlier today, about this idea of being saved by grace through faith. It's totally the wrong idea. You see, because we're saved and our sins and are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about that. Because there's no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. However, by saying that you're saved by grace through faith, that means, and telling you that the law is of no effect anymore because you're saved by grace through faith, that means you no longer have to obey. You no longer have to. So, in other words, the Father spent all this time bringing the law into fruition so that he could tell you later, well, we didn't really need it after all anyway. That was just something from the older part of the Testament. You know, don't worry about that now. You can live like the Jews live. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And I've taken care of everything for you. That is a doctrine of devils, ladies and gentlemen. That is a devil's doctrine. Only a Jew could think up something so stupid as that. When at the end of my article about the Apostle Paul, the study piece, if you look, go look at it again. Right at the end of the article, I put in as many scriptures as I could find that talked about he who loves me and obeys my commandments. Are you saved by just grace through faith, or are you saved because you love him and want to obey his commandments? You see, Abraham obeyed the Father's commandments. Oh, he had faith, but he obeyed his commandments. He loved the Father and obeyed his commandments. This is what was accounted as righteousness. How can you just saying, well, there's no law to follow, I don't have to worry about any of that stuff, how would you be made righteous? Just by... See, being made righteous is not of your own accord in a sense. It's when you obey the Father, it accounts you as righteous. When you love the Father. Remember that I said that the whole reason for the test here in my good estimation, and I do believe that this is the truth, is that the Father is going to have no more rebellions in heaven. He is going to replace those angels that were lost at that time with his own offspring. Why? Because his own family, you can relate to your own family better than you can to just regular creation. Just think, if you have literal sons and daughters, wouldn't they be more important to you than the angels in heaven? Yes. And so his sons and daughters would naturally love him, and his sons and daughters would naturally want to obey him. See, this Apostle Paul thing with the faith and, you know, by grace through faith, is on the assumption that just anybody, you know, a centipede could have faith in God and basically by grace he could be saved. In other words, I'm just being facetious. In other words, it's the all-inclusive gospel that Christ did not preach. Isn't it interesting also that I will mention some of the thoughts I've had about Paul? He said that you'll preach this gospel to the whole world. Have I got that right? Or is it Jesus that said that? We'll find out. But you see, that's the wrong... If it's preaching the Apostle Paul's gospel to the whole world, it's the wrong gospel. It's a lie. It's a doctrine of devils. It's not meant for, we can see, okay, just evidently, right? We can see that people do not care about, even people in our own race don't care about other people in our race. A lot of people are like that, right? And what I mean is, if we all have the same father, you notice how they love their family members, and it's easy to love your family. It's easy to love your friends who you know. But what about the stranger who lives down the street from you that's in your own race? People don't generally care about them the same way. In the same way, the other races don't care about our Father in heaven. Let's get real. And neither do they care about obeying his commandments. How do I know that? Look at the people that have come into our countries. They've stepped on the soil of the Israelite countries of the world, and are they being a blessing to us? Do they care about obeying the law? Even men's law, never mind the Father's law. You see, folks, it's all right in front of you. You don't really need to have any more proof than these kinds of things. They don't care about the Father in heaven. Barely the world at all cares about the Father in heaven. The world is Antichrist, just as the seed of the dragon is Antichrist, just as the Jews are Antichrist, just as the people of our own race that have turned against our race and have sold out to the devil and the Jews, his offspring. They are Antichrist. The whole world is Antichrist. I mean, it's, I would say, over 90%. And I used to think, you know, the world tries to make you think like, oh, no, the world is 90% of the world is Christian and they all love the Father. Really? If that was true, wouldn't his will be being done on earth? Let me ask you that question. You're darn right it would be. Is it being done on earth? I already told you it's not. And you know it's not. So let's continue. The redemption of the souls incorporated in matter took place, according to this host of sects, through the gnosis, the knowledge of the truth without need of morality or good works. This had the disastrous consequence in many sects of calling forth the most repellent immorality and dissoluteness of morals and practices. The most dangerous of all of these secret sects for Christianity was directed by the crypto-Jew Valentinius, a classic fifth columnist, for he was outwardly active as a true Christian and sowed disintegration in the Holy Church, which is the Catholic Church, yeah, by extending his disastrous sect. At first, he had the city of Alexandria as his principal bastion, but towards the middle of the second century, he went to Rome with the intention of undermining Christianity in the capital of the empire itself. The Valentinians seriously threatened to disintegrate the Holy Church from within, which finally, in order to nullify the disastrous work of this false Christian, a true Jew of the fifth column, cast him out of its bosom. Gnosticism spread doctrines which are now fundamental in many subversive Jewish movements of modern times. Listen to that statement, ladies and gentlemen. Gnosticism spread doctrines which are now fundamental in many subversive Jewish movements of modern times. For example, the sect of the Copercratians attacked all then existing religions and only recognized the gnosis, knowledge, of which was provided by the great men of every nation, such as Plato, Pythagoras, Moses, and Christ, which frees one from all that the vulgar call religion and makes man equal to God. Hello? Gnosticism, in its purest forms, strove to give Christianity the widest possible meaning by linking it to the oldest religious doctrines. The learned historical writer Matter assures us in connection with the gnosis that the belief that the divinity has revealed itself in the religious institutions of all nations leads to the idea of a kind of universal religion which contains elements of all. Can you say Freemasonry? Many of these concepts we find at present in the secret doctrine of the... Oh, there it is. Listen, many of the... I was a little ahead of myself here, obviously. Many of the concepts we find at present in the secret doctrine of the Freemasons and the Theosophical Societies. N.H. Webster, in her diligent study of the material, finds that the Gnostic sect of the Carpocratians, just so you'll know, it's Carpocratians, of the second century. Now, remember Marcion, from the first century, who kept the Apostle Paul's writings alive somehow. Isn't that interesting? I don't understand. One thing I'll tell you is I don't understand, but I believe the Catholics had shut up the doctrines. I don't know how some of these people in the world got the doctrines any more than I know how Tyndale got the doctrines in his time, because they were shut off from the general mankind, because nobody could read anyway. So that's a good way of shutting it off, isn't it? So even if you had the doctrines, it was shut off because you couldn't read. So it's interesting that this is now the second century that he's talking about with these Gnostics. And they were mixing everything. Remember, last week's show was called Devils Making Hybrids. And that's exactly what's going on. Not only hybrids of religion or subdivisions, but hybrids in people, hybrids in animals. This is something the Father does not like at all. You know it, and I know it. So let's continue. N.H. Webster, in her diligent study of the material, finds that the Gnostic sect of the Carpocratians of the second century arrive at much the same conclusions as modern communists with regard to the ideal social system. Thus, Epiphanes held that since nature herself reveals the principle of community and the unity of all things, human laws which are contrary to this law of nature are so many culpable infractions of the legitimate order of things. Before these laws were imposed on humanity, everything was in common, lands, goods, and women. According to certain contemporaries, the Carpocratians returned to this primitive system by instituting the community of women and indulging in every kind of license. People have always been tribal. And kind after kind is definitely quintessential, not only to the Father, but in nature. I don't know what has happened to mankind that he should think to even try to procreate with another type of, with a beast of the field, or with another type of, that's not in his own race. It's below him to do such things. And it behooves him. And it denigrates him. Therefore, he lowered himself. But he won't be exalted for that. See, it's like playing God when you want to say, oh, I can go mix up something else. That's adulteration. What's the matter? You don't think that the Father's recipes were good enough for you? You thought you needed to mix up a recipe of your own and create another race or a sub-race or a mongrel race? So, it's just amazing. It really is. For modern communism is materialistic, while the Gnosis itself regarded matter as bad and objectionable. However, the facts prove to us that the Jews have been very skilled in using the opposing philosophical system to attain similar political results. Now, let me just say this again. It's very important to understand something. If the Jews are in all of our nations and they must race mix in order to survive, they can't have the indigenous countries that they're in, the indigenous people, they can't have them be a wholesome people. A people that would recognize race mixing very quickly. They need to make, in their estimation, they need to make race mixing a popular thing and something that's not against the law. Otherwise, people would be killing them for race mixing, correct? All this while they pretend to be a chosen people and a people that do not mix out of there. You know, it's just too, this is double speak, double think, double walk. Maybe I just come up with a new term, double walk. We have double talk, but what about double walk? That's a nice idea. Double walk. Because that's what the Jews are. Thanks be to the Father in heaven, because without him, there'd only be pure sanity in this, pure insanity in this world. Without him, we wouldn't have any sanity at all. Or any hope, or any future, or anything. So, the Gnostics possessed mysteries and initiations. Tertullian, a father of the church, father, see, they don't listen to the scriptures, these Catholics. Again, I've pointed that out so many times. A father of the church. The Apostle Paul says, though you have whatever, I think it's 10,000 teachers in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. But he claims he's our father, by the way, like I had shown you in 1 Corinthians 4. That sounds like the same talk to me, doesn't it? So, in other words, the idea of calling somebody that is in the church and has a position, a father, emanates from the Apostle Paul. But what did Jesus say about that? See, that right there is two opposing positions. You see that, right? They're juxtaposed. So who would you rather listen to? Would you rather listen to the Apostle Paul or to Jesus Christ? Who would be right? Who would you say is might be telling you the real truthful thing? If he said, call no man father on on earth, right? But the Apostle Paul says, well, I'm your father. You are my begotten. And he's obviously taught these religions to call themselves fathers. Right? They call each other. Listen, again, the Gnostics possessed mysteries and initiations. Tertullian, a father of the church, a father, assures us that the sects of the Valentinians perverted the mysteries of Eleusis, which made a sanctuary of prostitution out of them. And we must not forget that Valentine, the false Christ and crypto-Jew from Alexandria, was revealed by Saint Irenaeus to be the leader of the Gnostics, whose sects, according to some, were directed by one and the same power. It is thus evident that the Jews are the same as 1,800 years ago and spread immorality and prostitution in Christian society in order to ruin it and to make it easier and to make easier its destruction. Who has always been involved in prostitution and immorality? Yeah, the Jews. Yeah. Notice that blacks become pimps too, right? And I told you that I believe that they are the seed line of Cain. Wouldn't that explain that somewhat too? Wouldn't that be another testimony towards maybe that that's probably true? Some Gnostic sects reached the highest degree of perversion in their doctrines. Listen, you know who Eliphas Levi is? He created the Baphomet thing. Listen to this carefully now. Thus, Eliphas Levi, a Jew, assures us that certain Gnostics introduce into their rites the profanation of the Christian mysteries. You know who talks about the Christian mysteries? Why, it's the Apostle Paul. That's who! Which were made to serve black magic. Again, listen again. I want you to, Neshab, please. I'll take a sip of this water here. The best drink on earth is what Yahweh created himself. And glory to him forever and ever, for his is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Listen now. Thus, Eliphas Levi assures us that certain Gnostics introduced into their rites the profanation of the Christian mysteries, which were made to serve black magic, whose principal propagators have also been the Jews. Yes, I told you the Pharisees were into black magic, and I told you that the Jews' rabbis, so-called rabbis, that they do black magic, correct? The Apostle Paul is a rabbi, and he talked about the mysteries. I'm telling you, there's more evidence in this than you would ever imagine. So, Dean Millman says in his History of the Jews that the Ophites worshiped the serpent because the Jews had rebelled against, they say, Jehovah. He used the word Jehovah. No, they never rebelled against their father, the devil, to whom they referred using the Kabbalistic expression of the demiurge. You see, again, Jehovah is the devil, and the demiurge is the devil. They're one and the same. It is thus evident that the glorification of evil, which is so important to modern revolutionary movements, secretly controlled by the synagogue of Satan, is likewise nothing new. It was already unleashed as poison by the Gnostic Jews into the nascent Christian society of more than 18 centuries ago. 18. 666? 18? E. DeFay, in his work Gnostics and Gnosticism, as well as Matter in his already mentioned work The History of Gnosticism, both assure us that another secret Gnostic sect called Cainites, on account of the cult in which they had worshipped Cain, represented the latter. Dathan and Abiram, the homosexual inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Judas Iscariot himself as noble victims of the demiurge, i.e., of the malicious creator of our universe according to their perverse teachings. Apparently, these Gnostic sects were forerunners of the Bogomils, of the Luciferians, of black magic, and of certain small satanic Masonic circles, which all, apart from rendering homage to Lucifer, regarded as good everything that Christianity holds to be evil, and vice versa. Let me stop right there and speak on that. Let's think about that, that all these evil things, these Gnostic sects of the Bogomils, I never heard of them, of the Luciferians, of black magic, and of certain small satanic Masonic circles, which all, apart from rendering homage to Lucifer, regarded, listen, as good everything that Christianity holds to be evil, and vice versa. Now, do the Jews, which are Luciferians and practice black magic and are in Masonic circles, satanic, and pay homage to their father Lucifer, do they do the very opposite of the will of the Father? That is true. Yes, they do. Do they do the will of the Father at all? No, they don't. They do the will of their own father, the devil, which is, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That is testimony that they are not of our Father right there. Because he that loves me and obeys my commandments, do they love the Father? Never mind Jesus Christ, you know they hate him, which is the Father in the flesh. But do they love the Father in heaven? You just saw that they don't. And you can see that they do everything the opposite of what his will is. If he says we go by the fathers, I mean, we go by the men in our lineages, and the Jews say, no, no, we don't go by the men. We do the opposite of that. We go by the women. You understand what I'm saying? See, the testimony that they are not God's chosen people is all over the place. It's everywhere, right in front of everybody's face. The testimony that they do not love the Father and do not obey his commandments are evident, self-evident. They're as evident as they could possibly be. Why does nobody understand that? When I put that at the end of the Apostle Paul's study, the Apostle Paul study piece that I wrote, go read those verses. And he who loves me and obeys my commandments, they are the ones that will drink the water of life. They are the ones that will receive eternal life. They are the ones that will reap the wonderful things of the kingdom. Which tells you that if you do not love the Father, and of course, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And so then if you do not love the Son and the Father, and you do not obey his commandments, let me just put it this way. You're cooked. The Jews are cooked. How is it that the Christian who claims to know this word, and there's so many people that think they know this word and they think they're experts and everything, yet I know a good deal about what the word says, but I tell you that I'm not an expert. I don't think I'm an expert. Isn't that interesting? See, these other people will tell you they're experts in the Bible. So that is exalting themselves, right? But I'll tell you, and I'm not just being humble for no reason. I'm just telling you that I'm not an expert in the Bible, yet I know a lot of things about the Bible and have taught a lot of very good things, thanks to the Father, about the Bible. So I do have a good deal of biblical knowledge. But I wouldn't say that I was an expert. See? So, it continues. The great leader who appeared in the church in order to combat Gnosticism and to triumph over it was, in fact, Saint Irenaeus, who thoroughly studied its disastrous sects and their dark teachings, and mercilessly fought them in the world in word and deed. So let me stop right there. There are pastors that will tell you, you don't need to look at the imitation, you don't need to look at what the enemy's doing, you don't need to know what they're about, you don't need to know how they operate, you just need to know about putting your money in the plate. Well, let's take an example, even though I don't want to glorify any men, but what did Saint Irenaeus, even though he's not a saint, whatever he is, Saint Irenaeus, how did he do it? He thoroughly studied Gnosticism's disastrous sects and their dark teachings and mercilessly fought them in word and deed. See, he had to find out what they were up to so that he could fight them on their own terms. He would know how to defeat them, you see. So when your pastor tells you that you don't need to do that, what he's doing is he's saying, dear boy, just come and sit and listen to what I tell you on Sunday and Wednesday and Tuesday and Friday and Saturday and put your money in the plate. Don't worry about it. You're in good hands. You don't need to know anything about the enemy or anything like that. Everything's been done for you. Even the test has been passed for you. Jesus Christ passed the test. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to obey any laws. You don't have to love the Father. You don't have to know the Father. Even though the Father says in the scriptures that, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You don't have to know the Father. See, that's what the devil would be saying to most of these Christians. The first thing he did with Eve is he said, oh, you will not die. But the Father said you would die. Who was right about that? So, I get a little passionate, folks. Don't worry about it. Simultaneously, he attacked the Jews, whom he described as the leaders of this disintegrating, subversive movement, whose strongest and most dangerous sect for Christianity was that of the Valentinians, which was led by Valentinus, behind whose false Christianity Saint Irenaeus discovered the Jewish identity. You see, he had to discover that that this fellow Valentinus was not even a Christian. He was talking Christianity. He was looking Christianity like the Pharisees were. But he found out that they were full of dead men, that Valentinus was full of dead men's bones. Thanks to the virile and ceaseless labor of Saint Irenaeus, the church was successful in triumphing over the gnosis. See, this is my problem with the Catholic Church. Thanks to the ceaseless labor of Saint Irenaeus, they're glorifying the man. Not thanks to the Father in heaven. Not thanks to the Savior Jesus Christ. No, not thanks to any of them. They didn't do anything. It was Saint Irenaeus. See, that's my problem with the Catholic Church. Self-glorification, self-exaltation. No glorification of the Father in heaven. I love using the horse's own speakings to condemn the horse. So he says that this, thanks to the Saint Irenaeus in triumphing over gnosis, which for nascent Christianity was a more threatening internal danger than the grave external snares then represented by the frontal attacks of the synagogue and its intrigues, which managed, as we have already observed, to unleash the whole power of the Roman Empire and its terrible persecutions against the nascent church. Now listen, that's about it right there for a second. I got to look up the word nascent, okay? I've let that go for a while, and I can't let it go anymore. Nascent. Okay, 1 second. My slow internet connection gets me all the time. We all have to pay the price to tell the truth. There's no doubt about it. Nascent. Coming or having recently come into existence. So, nascent would be like recent. Okay? All right, we ended that little piece. So, the recent church resulting in so many martyrs for Christianity. These facts prove that, from the first beginnings onwards, the activity of the Jewish fifth column, which had penetrated into its interior, was far more dangerous for the church than that of its external foes. Which is natural, right? If you have the foes within your organization, that's much more dangerous than having them outside the organization. You know the old thing, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer? These facts prove that from its beginnings, naturally, the existence of a devout and very fine, very combative clergy to whom indulgence disguised with the cloak of peaceful coexistence, dialogue, or diplomacy was unknown, had the effect that the church emerged victorious from this terrible struggle in which it completely overcame its foes, Jewry, Jewish Gnosticism, and Roman paganism. You know, it's funny that they actually think that they overcame Roman paganism because it was there still. It's still there today. Isn't that interesting? Let's read this last, Let's read a couple more paragraphs, and that's about it here. Never has the situation been so grave for the church as in that time. Oh, yeah, you didn't know what was going on now. But Christianity then was much weaker than in the present, and the difference in strength between the church and its enemies was immeasurably greater in favor of the adversary. If the church was able to then triumph over its enemies, who were relatively stronger than they are now, it should now be able to do so even more, always presupposing that it is successful in fighting and eliminating the destructive and perfidious activity of the crypto-Jewish fifth column, quote-unquote, which has infiltrated the clergy, and with the presupposition that within the religious hierarchies, leaders appear who imitate Saint Irenaeus and sacrifice everything in order to defend the faith of Christ and the cause of mankind. The faith of Christ, see? Which is threatened by a cruel servitude. Leaders who are likewise able to overcome the resistance presented by cowards and conformists who, however sincere in their beliefs, think more about not compromising the ecclesiastical preferments they hanker after and of living peaceful and financially safe life than in defending the Holy Church and humanity in these times of mortal danger. Finally, let us examine. Okay, well, that's where we'll stop right there. We're on page 209. So, ladies and gentlemen, you see, this is the problem, this last thing here. It says, however sincere in their beliefs, these cowards, they think more about not compromising the ecclesiastical preferments they hanker after and of a living a peaceful and financially safe life than in defending, which I would call the gospel, or defending the kingdom. You see, they never bring the Father up. Do you hear anything about the Father here? Have you heard anything in any of this about the Father? No, you didn't. Because these people are not taught to love the Father. They're taught improperly. They pray with their hats on. They act like they have studied all these scriptures, but you know that they haven't. Because if they had, they wouldn't be doing that, right? I find it all quite interesting. I really do. And I hope that you do too. It was a pleasure speaking with you again today. And as I always give this great advice, I shall give it yet again. Don't go down the wrong hole.
Just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste, all the lies that they told.